Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The Emergency Financial Manager Law supporters say it's absolutely necessary for managers to be fully empowered, but opponents have filed a suit on the matter and say it's simply unconstitutional. To talk about where the case stands now, I'm joined by John Filo. He is the legal director at the Sugar Law Center, which filed a suit against the new law. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
So just as in the case of the pension tax suit, Governor Snyder wants the Michigan Supreme Court to take this suit up directly and make a ruling on its constitutionality. It would save time and allow state government to make any necessary adjustments right away. What's wrong with his approach?
Well, what's wrong with his approach, particularly in our case, is there are factual matters that need to be learned. One of the arguments that we fully anticipate they're going to make and expect them to make is that this legislation doesn't impose new costs such that it violates what we call the Headley Amendment here in Michigan. In other words, in Michigan, if the state government is going to impose new costs on local government, they have to give a new revenue stream or offset previous costs. We've argued that this act violates the Michigan Constitution because it imposes new costs on local government. They have to pay for these emergency managers, their staff, their consultants, all those sources, without any new revenue streams. Well, one of the arguments is going to be from the other side is that there's a cost savings that offsets the costs of the emergency manager. We need to see the documents showing where those savings occur and seeing how much is it costing. It's been as much as $11,000 a month in certain places, and we're just getting anecdotal information. The trial court level is where you find out facts. There's facts that we need to know related to other aspects of our constitutional challenge, which is some of the decisions that the emergencies managers make that violate local charters, override local charters, or amount to a legislative act by the emergency manager. We need to see that through a process of factual discovery. We have no problem taking this case before any court, but in many ways we do see this as a way to short circuit ever seeing those facts coming to light.
Now, the emergency financial manager law was essentially updated by Republicans and the governor. Was the previous law the way it stood? Did that not cost the local municipality money?
No, it was a different animal in certain ways. In that there was that local review board, and we didn't challenge the previous law, and the money was coming from different sources in our mind. But in this, it's made very explicit, and the staffing and the consultants that are hired are directly imposed on the local government.
The governor says, look, if we let this go through the typical process, it could be years. We've got communities that are going to be facing bankruptcy. We need to allow these managers to step in right away and resolve these problems with the powers they've now been given. Couldn't that be a major hindrance to the government if any decision on its constitutionality is delayed by years?
Well, if it was delayed by years, perhaps. But I would also note that the governor has gone on record as saying he has no intention of appointing new emergency managers, and he doesn't foresee any. So I'm a little betwixt and between as to if it is such an urgency. He has not appointed any emergency managers, over a new township or a new municipality or a new school board since this has been enacted. All these existing emergency managers were under the prior legislation. So he hasn't been rushing to act under it. So I'm not too sure why now is of the most import. But the other aspect is, no one anticipates our case to be taking years. The discovery is quite limited. We wouldn't seek more than 3 months, or if that, to conduct full discovery and then get straight to motions which will decide the case. There's not going to be a jury trial. This isn't going to be a case that's going to be lingering in the trial courts. And then immediately after that, whatever decision comes down, there's the opportunity for both sides to appeal. So this isn't a case that's going to linger at the trial court level.
I'm talking to John Filo. He's the legal director for the Sugar Law Center, which has filed a suit against the new emergency financial manager law. John, you know, these managers and the argument for the new empowered law is that they just simply need the power to resolve the financial problems for a municipality, which may very well include canceling union contracts. Without that ability, doesn't that ultimately leave a manager powerless to effectively rescue a local government from going under?
No, I don't believe it does. Under the old law, they had the power to renegotiate contracts. Under this, though, however, it gives unilateral power to cancel contracts. And it's a, you know, if we're going to be canceling our union contracts or our pension rights to our local employees, are we going to be canceling contracts to Aramark and to other service providers who have contracts with the city? That hasn't been done. Why is that not done? It's a, you know, in many ways it is seen as a backdoor attempt to bust public unions. I think everyone, even in the Detroit public schools, the unions went to the table and took significant concessions that Robert Bob agreed to. And now they want to go back and just say, well, let's cancel it. That's not bargaining in good faith. That's not a, that shouldn't, you know, we have a contract clause in our Constitution for a reason. And they should, you know, a backdoor attempt to bust public unions should not be part of this legislation. Everyone recognizes we have a financial crisis in Michigan, and we have it across the country. But how we address it, what this case asks, is are we going to do it through a democratic form of government that recognizes our fundamental rights, or are we now saying that those democratic rights only apply when a governor, and I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat, determines that there is an emergency in place?
So what happens at this point? Does the Supreme Court, is it going to come back and say whether it will in fact take the case on? Has it agreed to review the constitutionality of this law?
Right. The Supreme Court has the discretion to, you know, certify it and, you know, put it right before them or not, based on the governor's request.
In the Republican majority that's in the Supreme Court, is there any sense that they could side with the governor on this issue?
No, they certainly could. And we you know, I mean, I think everyone knows, and I don't think it's a secret, and that, you know, the majority is from the same party. However, I don't feel that this is a partisan issue. This is about constitutional rights, which I think conservatives and Democrats and liberals value equally. And it's about local government and the rights of local communities to have a local government. I think that's something that whether you're a conservative or a liberal, you can share in those values equally and give it a fair look.
John Filo, he's the legal director at the Sugar Law Center. Thank you for joining me, John.
I appreciate it, and thank you.